Hi, and welcome to the Phys Ed Podcast. I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphys.com.
And this is episode 4. Nathan, how's it going?
Good, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I know we've had a lot of people out there asking when the next one's coming, so it's been a while. There's been a lot going on, but we're back and we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be a good episode today.
So what's been going on with in your gym?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of new stuff lately. Actually, I want to talk about this game I played. I just finished up my unit on it. It's called Chook Ball. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have heard of it.
So Chook Ball is a really great sport. It's two games facing off against each other, and the way you score is you have. Okay, so each player has 3 seconds with the ball. You're allowed to make up to 3 passes with your teammates. You're allowed to take 3 steps with the ball. And to score a point, you have these trampolines at the end of each court. At each end of the court.
Yeah.
And to score, you gotta throw your ball off of the trampoline. It has to bounce outside this like semicircle that's around the trampoline. And if it lands on the ground, you score a point for your team. The defending team has to catch the ball before it touches the ground, and then they can go and they can attack it either trampoline. Now,
okay.
Chook ball, like I've always heard a lot of phys ed teachers, especially here in Quebec, have been playing it a lot in their programs, and I never really got around to it. But I had the nets and everything, so I decided, okay, you know, I'll give it a try. Anyways, it's such an amazing sport. Like it's great because there's no contact. There's no intercepting the ball or anything. It's just really just setting up like beautiful plays. But yeah. What I found crazy about it is that I always thought chook ball was an invasion game, right? Like I thought, okay, like you're attacking this net and then the other team's attacking the other net. Yeah. But because you can attack either net, it's a lot closer to a net wall game. Like the whole point is to send the ball to like an open space on the court where the other team can't get to it.
And it's a bit like squash.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that as soon as when I started planning the unit and I started realizing that, and I started teaching it to my students, because a lot of them, they were having a hard time at first kind of getting used to the whole, like, okay, I'm not allowed to intercept passes and I'm not allowed to block shots on defense. And then as soon as they started realizing that, I was like, hey, you know, this is a lot closer to a net wall game. Like, what are getting net wall games that we play this year? And it's like, we've done speedminton, we've done badminton. And I was like, hey, what are some of the tactical, like what are some of the tactics we use in those games? And then they started catching on. They were able to really transfer it. And I just thought it was really cool how, like, they were able to take something that they learned, let's say, like, in badminton, and they were able to transfer it over to this chook ball game, which looks completely different than badminton.
Yeah, nice one. So, I've seen a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, and I know a lot of people have done it in schools. I actually ordered the nets for next year so that I can actually do it, because I've never been, like, I've been in a lot of different schools over the last sort of 6 or 7 years, but they've never had the equipment, so it was one of the things I put on my order for next year, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, that's the only pain, is you have to have those trampolines or those nets, but honestly, it was a great game. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm including it in my curriculum from now on. Another game I played recently was a kinball. Have you ever played kinball?
No.
All right, so kinball is another sport that's big here in Quebec. It's a... So you have this giant Omni-kin ball. Have you ever seen those? Or like, it's like,
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically there's 3 teams playing, and the goal of the game is so you're 4 players on a team, 3 players are supporting the ball, so they're like on one knee holding this ball up, and then the 4th player has to call a color, so they have to say Omni-kin, let's say blue, and then they're trying to strike the ball to an open space, and the blue team has to retrieve it before it touches the ground.
Okay.
But if it does touch the ground, it's not just the team that struck the ball that gets the point, it's every other team except for blue. So, like, every team's earning points, like you're earning a lot of points throughout the game, and it always kind of keeps the game close. But just to really add, it's another interesting sport. Like, you know, it's kind of like I was writing the next newsletters on this, actually, like non-traditional, like, net wall games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great sport, and it was a lot of fun. And if you have an Omni-kin ball, like, there's so many cool games you can do in your gym with it. So, just a little thing there to spark some ideas.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that. Could you do it with a... like a gym ball or a fit ball, like something like that, or
honestly, I think I guess it depends on the quality. But the Omni-kin ball, like, it's really big, but it's pretty light. So if you strike the ball, like, it's there's no real risk of injury. But even at that, like, I'd have some kids trying to strike it with one arm, and they'd always wind up hurting their elbow. So I had to really teach the kids to strike with 2 arms. I'm just afraid that like having like a Swiss ball might be too heavy, and it also might be too fast. Like the Omnicom ball, the nice thing about it is that it really floats in the air for a while. So it gives the team, like, it does give the team a chance to retrieve it before it touches the ground.
All right, nice one.
So that's it. Just two new sports, and I was pretty excited about them, so I figured I'd share them here. How about you?
Yeah, cool. Obviously, like, we've just had a two-week holiday that we've just come back from. So I think last time we did the podcast, we were getting towards the end of the term for the break. And so I did a few adventure challenge activities. One which was really great, which all the kids loved. And it was actually they found it really difficult to start with. And I thought that they would maybe give up, but they persisted with it and they kept asking to do it again and again and again. So I only planned for it to maybe last one lesson. We ended up doing it for about three or four lessons so that they could succeed at it fully. So it's called toxic waste transport. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I think so, but continue on there.
So it's basically like a basket, which has balls or something inside of it. So the one I have has balls in it. It's just this plastic basket with balls in it. And then all the students that are doing it, maybe there's 10 in the group, have, like a rope with a clip on the end. And the idea is to get the basket from one point to another point. So I was doing it on a basketball court, so from one end of the court to the other, and they have to empty the balls from that basket into another basket without touching the basket, without touching the ropes, and basically just work as a team. So there's a lot of communication, teamwork, and I can guarantee you, like, if anyone else has ever tried it, it's actually not that difficult, but everyone wants to be the boss and everybody wants to be the person who tells the others what to do. So probably for the first 30 minutes of the activity, it was just kids screaming at each other, which it can be difficult at times to just let them be and let them scream at each other, knowing that they need to go through that to be able to get to the end goal and work out that they need to actually work together to do it. But it was really cool. Like I did it with I started with a grade 3 class, and then some grade 1s saw me doing it and they asked could they try? So they tried it, and they actually, I think it was actually a grade 1 class that got it first out of all of the classes, like K-5. I did it with the K's as well, and they loved it. Like we adapted it a little bit for them. But yeah, no, it was a really cool activity. And just we've got a lot of ESL kids in our school as well. And so there's a lot of ESL kids that I hadn't heard speak that much English before. But when they're in this situation where there's so much pressure and there's like people trying to decide what to do, like they were speaking so much more English than I'd ever heard them speak before. So it was just like all round one of the best activities that I've done all year.
That's awesome. And yeah, like I have used that game in my Survivor unit. What I did is I took a ringette ring and I tied skipping ropes to it, and they had to carry a basketball over.
Similar.
Same kind of thing, like so much arguing at first and like people kind of blaming others for having the ball tip over. Yep. But as they played, they kind of realized like, okay, maybe it wasn't him that wasn't pulling hard enough. Maybe it was me that was pulling too hard. Exactly. And we kind of led into that discussion, being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and kind of understand and overcome obstacles as a team together.
Yeah, it worked really well for us as well, because I'm like, so in the PYP curriculum, like we're meant to integrate fully into the classroom curriculum. So I think like grade 1 at the moment, like I think the reason that they were successful more than the others is because their unit at the moment is on peace and conflict.
Oh, nice.
So they were looking at different perspectives and different things like that. So they were really able to work through it a lot quicker than say a grade 5 class who everyone thought that they knew exactly how to do it, but couldn't communicate with each other and couldn't actually work it out. So no, it was awesome. I enjoyed teaching it. The kids enjoyed doing it. And like I said, it went on for three lessons longer than I thought it would. But no, it was nice. But now we went on break after that. And now we've just been back a week and we started swimming. So we're not as lucky as some of the other international schools here in Singapore. Like most of the other international schools have swimming pools on their campus. So they do swimming sort of throughout the whole year. But we don't have one. Because we're right in the middle of the city, mate, basically. But so we go off campus to a public pool for the next 6 weeks, basically. So from K through 5, we're doing swimming, and then that'll culminate in a big swim gala sort of at the end of May, which it's been great. I mean, like having the K's this week, like the K1s in the pool, I was in there with them and they were just having the time of their lives. Like, it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I had like 7 K1 kids just hanging off me in the water, trying to push me under. Like, I've never seen, like, I've taught swimming before in Australia, in the UK, in Italy. I've never seen kids that are just so confident in the water as kids here in Singapore. Like, I don't know whether it's because most buildings and condos have swimming pools, and the weather's so warm, I think the kids are always in it, but they're straight in there, no fear whatsoever.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's nice. It's also nice for me to be out in the sun and be in the swimming pool all day instead of standing out sweating in 40-degree heat. So it's a nice 6-week unit for me.
Oh, we got some snow here if ever you want to trade.
No, I think I'm all right at the moment.
That's great, though. That's really cool that you get to take the kids swimming and that also that you're using like a public pool that they can access to on their own time, right?
Exactly. And so it's so cheap here as well, which is fantastic. Like, it's 50 cents for a kid to go into the public pool and a dollar for an adult.
Wow, yeah, that is cheap.
So, yeah, like, it's really accessible. And like I said, I probably, if we took a survey of the kids at our school, I would say easily 95% of them have a swimming pool at home in their building. So, like, the access to the water is great. But having said that, I don't know what it's like in Canada, but like definitely in Australia, you can't have a swimming pool anywhere that's not fenced. Like, is that the same in Canada?
I'm not sure on the actual laws, but most swimming pools are fenced here. Well, yeah, I know, at least like, in Quebec.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely in Australia, I think it's pretty much a law that the pool has to have a fence around it. But the pools here in Singapore don't have fences around them. So I think it's a really important unit to be doing as well. Like, I want to, like, being that the kids, most of the kids are pretty confident swimmers, my focus is going to be more on the water safety aspect of it. Like, how can you save yourself if you get in trouble, and how can you save someone else? Because, like, even just I'm sitting here, at home now looking out the window, and, you know, there's always babies and little kids just running around the edge of the pool with no fence here in my building. So, like, I think it's a really important skill to have, an important knowledge to have, like, how to keep yourself safe and how to help someone else if they're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Teaching safety, like, especially like you're saying, like, there's just kids running around pools all the time, making sure you're teaching them how to be safe. It's like when I teach, like, I want to teach a bike safety unit later on this spring, and then it all culminates in us, like, taking the kids out on this bike ride. But you have to teach the kids how to be safe around these things, because I find that we assume that, like, oh, they're learning this at home, but they're not actually learning it at home. So
no,
it's always better to double check and make sure that you know that they know how to be safe around them.
Exactly. So I guess for me, like, we've only got 8 weeks left until we're on summer break. So swimming will take up 6 of those, and then we're back at school for 2 weeks, just to sort of wrap everything up. So yeah, like, it's, this year's gone really quickly, and I'm getting towards the end.
Yeah, this part of the year goes by so fast. Yeah. Everything after spring break just flies by. Like, I can't believe we're already in April here.
Yeah, when do you finish, like, in June?
Yeah, I think my last classes are like on June 20th or something like that, and then we have like a week of like that the teachers just go in and we like have meetings and workshops and stuff like that, just wrap things up for the year.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, cool. I want to say other thing I've been doing in my classes, and this is just, it's a bit of like a silly activity that I just use for cool downs. Yeah. Because I was having some issues for a little while of kids fooling around in the change room at the end of class. Mm-hmm. We had two incidents, and I was like, hey, you know what? I want to figure out some way of getting these kids out of the change room as fast as possible at the end of class.
Yeah.
So what I've done is, have you ever played push catch with your kids?
No.
So push catch is just a circle game. The kids are in a circle. You're in the middle with a ball, and you throw the ball to the kid. And as you throw it, you say either push or catch. If you say push, they have to catch it. If you say catch, they have to push it.
Okay.
So it's just a simple game like that, and it goes by. Like, I go really, really fast with the kids. And if you don't get it right, then you have to sit down. So just a fast game like that to like cool down at the end of the class and get them out. Now what I've done though is that we've done this huge qualifier championship thing, where we do like an official qualifier round, and then the 4 last kids in the circle move on to the school championship. So it's we have like four kids from grade one, four from grade two, grade three, grade four, grade five, grade six. Yeah. And then we have these 24 kids going to play in our championship next week. Anyways,
awesome.
These kids are so excited about it. Like the grade ones are just like, I can't believe I'm going to be playing against my brother. He's in grade six. And they're just like going nuts about it. And I just find it so funny. Anyways, it was just it's just a little activity I've been doing to get the kids out. Yeah. And it's been working great. And the kids have been loving it. So
yeah, and it's like, that's like what I love. That's what I love about teaching like elementary school PE. Like you can just do the most basic things and get the kids so excited about it. Like if you try to do that with a middle school class or a high school class, they'd just be like, no, Mr. Joe, like we're not doing that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, but the elementary kids, like you can just, you can do whatever. Like actually I've been using your Star Wars tag a little bit. One of our swimming sessions got cancelled this week because of lightning. So when there's light, there's a lot of lightning here, obviously, because of the tropical climate. And so when there's lightning, they shut the pool for an hour afterwards. So we had to come back to school. And I was trying to, like, just racking my brain, trying to think of something quickly to do because we only had about 20 minutes. And Star Wars tag popped in, and I did it, and the kids went wild for it. Like, it was probably their favorite game all year.
Yeah, it's a fun game. All the kids... I just love how much the kids actually know about Star Wars, too.
Yeah. Well, they kept saying, they're like, no, not Luke Skywalker, it's Anakin Skywalker. It's this, like, bringing all these characters in that, like, I didn't even know that are, like, new from the Clone Wars or something like that. So
yeah, exactly.
I just let them, I said, like, all right, like, let's add some more characters. Like, let's, you tell me what this character does, and then we'll find a way to get them in the game somehow.
Yeah, that's often how what happens when I play the game, too, is that the kids start mentioning characters that I don't know or characters I didn't really think of. And then we're like, okay, so let's add this character. And then I let the kids kind of decide, how does this character work in the game? And, like, we've added, I think I mentioned before, like, I've added, like, Millennium Falcons and AT-ATs and stuff like that. And it was all the kids that came up with the rules for those characters and how they could work in the game.
It was awesome. I had one kid who was like, I want to be Chewbacca. And I was like, all right, so what does Chewbacca do? He's like, just runs around screaming. I was like, all right, go for it. So I just have one kid just running around making the Chewbacca noise. while the game was going, it was awesome.
I should write up. I also played. I remember this was like back when I was working in day camps when I was like 17. But we had a version of Quidditch, you know, like the Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
Anyways, we had a really fun version of Quidditch with all the different roles in it, and it was the same kind of thing where like kids just had like a random role, but they were so excited about their role in the game. They were so excited that they could contribute to the team in a way that was like that they just felt comfortable with. Yeah. I should write that up. Maybe I'll make a game video about that this week.
Yeah, cool. The only other thing I want to talk about in the school at the moment is, so I set up a Twitter handle for my phys ed program at school this week.
Yeah,
so it's been something I've been meaning to do for a long time and just sort of hadn't got around to it and hadn't, well, I wasn't sure about like how it would go down with the school, but we just got our PYP coordinator and I don't know whether the principal got on Twitter or not, but we definitely got our curriculum coordinator on there, and she took part in her first PYP chat on Thursday night. So as part of that, I said, okay, well, if she's on there now, I think she'll be okay with us having one at the school, and I spoke to her about it, and it was fine. So, yeah, I've got it's at ISS Phys Ed. And so, yeah, it's good. Like, for me, I'm just trying to get some parents on board now as a way of sort of like communicating with them. So like if swimming is cancelled or if things like that happen, we can get that information out as well as sort of promoting the stuff that we're doing and putting photos of the kids and doing activities and stuff like that. So yeah, follow us and see what we're up to.
Yeah, you know, I think that's such a great way, like a great tool as part of your like advocacy plan for your phys ed program. And we were talking about that in PE chat last week.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I like when I was moderating that, it was like I'd been meaning to do it, and moderating that PE chat, like I was like, right, I got to do it now. Like I got to get it done. So it's been good. I've been really like trying to get us like every day about two or three tweets up of just different things that we're doing. Like I think I tweeted something the other day about the swimming pool and the kids when we came back to school, the activity that we're doing. I took a photo and tweeted that. So no, it's great. It's, yeah, next step is just to get some parents following us so they can sort of start spreading the word to the other parents as well.
That's awesome. I want to share something that I'm working on with a teacher. Actually, Wells Alexandra, she's my roommate.
Yeah.
So Alex and I both teach for the same board, and we teach in schools that are very, very similar. And what we want to do, though, is, at my school, I have access to iPads. I have access to, like, I have Wi-Fi in my gym. Like, you know, I get access to all this, like, this tech for my phys ed courses.
Yeah.
But Alex at her school, she doesn't have access to that stuff. And I thought that this was a good opportunity for us to kind of see what's the actual impact of tech and phys ed. Now, obviously, this is very unofficial and everything, but I thought it was a good way to start. And it'd be really interesting if we saw a lot more people in the phys ed community online kind of do these kind of type of projects. So what we're doing is we're planning a unit together. We're going to be planning a handball unit. And the unit's going to have the same outcomes. It's going to have like the same kind of progressions and everything. The only difference is that my lessons are going to be enhanced with tech, and hers aren't. Now, what we want to do is, before we start the unit, we want to do a pre-assessment of our student, like, knowledge of handball and, like, pre-assessment of their skills and everything. And then at the end, we want to do, like, a final test, too, where we do the same kind of, like, assessment, or we're collecting the same information, and then kind of compare how much student knowledge has changed during the unit. And what we're going to do from there is that once we have that information, we're going to compare, okay, like, how did it work, like, in a non-tech situation? How did it work in a tech situation?
Yeah.
And I just think that's really interesting. I think that's a really powerful thing to be doing, especially because, you know, we've been talking a lot lately about, like, the phys ed community and, like all of our hashtags and everything. I know we're going to talk about that in just a second here. But we have so much – we have such great numbers now. Like, it's so much different than, like, 4 years ago where we had, four people talking about phys ed on Twitter. Like,
exactly.
You know, the physicaleducator.com's like account just passed like 5,000 people not too long ago.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But I'm super happy about that. But what I'm really happy about is the fact that there's so many teachers who are actually starting to see Twitter as like a powerful tool for professional development and professional collaboration. And I think this here is a great way to like collaborate on this is a great thing to collaborate on because there's so many of us like PE geeks who are so pumped about tech. But we have a hard time selling it to our principals and our administrators. So if we actually had a little bit more data, and I know that there's research out there, but like just like this type of like teacher research, it'd be really interesting to collect more, kind of get things like jump started a bit, and just kind of go from there. You know, like it'd be great to be able to say like, oh yeah, well look, I need these iPads because this, like these reasons, and this is based on like teacher research and everything.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to that advocacy stuff that you were talking about before. Like, I feel like a lot of it has to do with that administrators, people in positions of power who make the decisions on purchasing and what happens within the school, like, often don't know what's actually going on in phys ed classrooms and phys ed gymnasiums and stuff. Like, I guess, like, it's just a matter of, like, showing them. And, like, I know from my experience when I've sort of, like, shown – like my admin, like, oh, look at this thing that I did, or like, check out this. And they're like, oh, wow, like, I didn't know you could do that, or I didn't know that that was what was happening. Like, there's still that sort of like, that feeling. And I know a lot of other people's schools that I've spoken to as well is like, that phys ed is just like, oh, they're just off playing games in the gym. And then they're not actually learning. So yeah, it's like, I think that I'm really excited to see what comes out of your work with Alexandra, because like I know we've talked about as well in the past, like only using tech when it's going to be beneficial, and not just using it for the sake of using it. So like I went out on Monday. We had our first day back after break, we had a PD day, and they were doing some work on math continuums and stuff, so I knew that was coming up, and I just suggested to the PYP coordinator that maybe we could — me actually and the IT teacher went out to one of the other schools here and just visited to see what they were doing. So we went to Singapore American School, and I caught up with a teacher, Anne Wenstrom, who's on Twitter. I think A Wenstrom is her handle. And she's just recently done the Apple Distinguished Educator thing in Bali.
Okay.
And she's awesome. She's like I went out there and like, she's not, I don't know, like she's not really active on Twitter. I think she's one of these people that like watches what happens, like a bit like Blue Jay Bridge did for a while.
Yeah.
Like I think she's in the watching phase at the moment, just sort of like trying to work out where she fits, and then I think she's going to explode, because some of the stuff she was doing, like she was really integrating tech in a really meaningful way, and it's just effortless, like absolutely effortless. The kids were doing it themselves basically. She just said like, this is what you're doing. Here's the iPads, this is how you're using them, and go. And you could see that they were just used to using them. she had them set up in a way like that was just, I don't know, it was great. I actually blogged about it a little bit in terms of using it. She was using it as using Google Forms for assessment. So the kids were peer assessing each other on their hockey shooting technique using Google Forms. So you can read about that on ifz.com. But yeah, like she was awesome. But just the opportunity to go and see what somebody else was doing in their classroom who also is using tech was invaluable.
Yeah, that's one thing we often talk about, like the big general ideas of what we're doing. Like, okay, like here's how I'm using the iPad for this. Here's how I'm using this web tool for this. But often one thing we forget to talk about, and it's normal we forget to talk about, right? Because like our routines are something that we just kind of like naturally integrate into everything we do. But we never really talk about those teacher routines. Like how do you have your iPad system set up in your gym? I know when I give workshops, I always try and keep a section of like when I give workshops on iPads in phys ed, I was kind of keep a section. I was like, okay, let's think about how this needs to be set up before you even start. Because the worst thing that happens is that you kind of throw yourself into it because you have this idea, but you haven't set up any kind of routine. And then you wind up having a negative experience with it because something went wrong. Like the kids were fooling around with the iPads because you hadn't shown them how to use them properly or something like that. And then you get a negative experience. You get a lot of teachers being like, you know what? It was too much hassle. I don't want to do this anymore. So actually taking the time to think about those routines, and not just for tech and everything, for everything. You know, like I was talking about cooldowns earlier on. But like it's little things like that that as teachers we share so much on Twitter, but we never talk about our routines like that. Actually, that'd be a good chat topic.
Exactly. Yeah. No. She like the way she had like I just like the way she had it set up. Like so they were doing their hockey shooting technique, and she just had the iPad set up on these tripods. She didn't tell me what they were called because I want to order some, but I can't remember off the top of my head now. I'll try and find out. But she just had them set up on the tripods, sort of facing where the kids were shooting into the goal. And she was using BAM video delay with a 20-second delay.
Okay.
And the kids were just shooting. And she said to them, like, you know, here are the four technique points that you're trying to do, like weight transfer, like your grip, trying to keep the stick low and keep your head over the puck. And she said, like, they're the four things you're looking for. Take about two or three shots and then quickly run over to the iPad and, you know, it's on 20-second delay, so you'll be able to see yourself and you're looking for those four things. So it wasn't even like that they were even, like there were people peer assessing them, but they were also like self-assessing by being able to go and quickly look. And the way that she said to me is like, she found that the less time that the kids had to actually like put down the stick, pick up the iPad, look, put the iPad down, pick up the stick again, like it was just a waste of time. So for them just to be able to take three or four shots, run over, look at the iPad and then run back, like they just got a lot more in that time. So yeah, it's just those little things that I guess like come with experience, and like she's had, iPads in her program for about a year now. So it's those sort of things like that you get those routines and get those systems in place.
Yeah. That's great. I'd love to see her teach.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned just before about we were talking about the hashtag, so like the great hashtag debate, I guess. We should talk about it because I know there's a lot of people on Twitter at the moment who are talking about it. So talking about, like, I guess there's three main hashtags that are being used within the phys ed community at the moment. So that's like hashtag phys ed, hashtag PE geeks, and hashtag PE chat. And I know you set up a branch on it earlier, so you want to like sort of just mention maybe what you had on there?
Yeah, well, I think it really starts off with like why do hashtags exist? Like, what do we use hashtags for? And for me, the way I always use hashtags was I use it to kind of organize my Twitter feed. You know, like when I was looking at all these people I was following and everything, and I was like, okay, I just want to learn about, I want to see what people are doing with tech and phys ed. Then it was a no-brainer. I'd do a search for PE geeks, and I'd find like tech and phys ed. If I just want to see like general phys ed ideas, I'd search for phys ed or hashtag phys ed, and then I'd find phys ed ideas. And now obviously with PE chat, it's if I want to see what people are talking about the topic we voted on, I'd search for PE chat. But I just find that lately when I'm looking at my Twitter feed, a lot of those hashtags are being used in the same way. And it kind of makes me wonder why we're using three hashtags to start off with. And it also just makes it that you know, like I don't use that. I don't search for those hashtags as much anymore because I know I'm not getting the content that I'm kind of hoping I'll get from looking at them.
Yeah. No, I know. I know exactly what you mean. Like, and I've probably been guilty of it in the past as well. Is like, if I've got something really cool that I want to share that I've like hashtagged it with all three on there, knowing that that'll help people find it. But I've sort of like, I stopped doing that because like you said, like it has, I don't know, it's diluted the content a little bit. Like there's still some really fantastic things out there. And like, it's great that there's so many people in this community now. Like it's incredible really how many people, how many like phys ed people and PE geeks there are in this community right now. But yeah, it's like you say, like just the quality of the content, it gets diluted, I guess, if you're using the hashtag for the wrong things. So the way I look at it, like similar to you, is like PE Geeks is like technology in phys ed. Then you've got hashtag phys ed, which is like more like games, things that you're actually doing within your program, and then PE chat for the chats on Monday. I use it the same way because like obviously, you know, I do a PYP chat on Thursday, which is our curriculum. I know there's like a TGFU chat. There's like, I've set up a PhysEdSG hashtag, which is like a few of the Singapore teachers are starting to use. I guess we just need to be careful about how we're using them and make sure that we're using them for the right things rather than just like throwing them in there for the sake of throwing them in there.
Yeah, but I think also, like, one of the problems, too, like, when I was writing up that branch and I was reflecting back on it, like, for a lot of people who are new, who are just kind of jumping on, like, they have no idea where those hashtags came from. They just assume those are the hashtags we use. So that's why, like, in that branch, I kind of explained where the hashtags came from and how they were originally being used. And hopefully we can start using those ways, too, because there's so much content being shared right now, and we need a way to kind of organize it.
And that's exactly what, like I said, like I'm guilty of doing it in the past, and that's probably it because like it was for me that like when I first came on, those were the three things that I knew people were using, so I used them. It's good that we're having this discussion right now, like, and it's good that people are talking about it. Like, I don't think it's like a negative thing that people are talking about it for negative reasons. Like, it's, we're talking about it because we want to like make this community better and make sure that people are able to get the help and the be able to collaborate and share the things that they're doing and be able to find the things that they need.
Yeah, exactly. We just want to make sure the community can scale and grow, but still be like comprehensible. You know, that you can actually understand what people are trying to share here. But, yeah, exactly. Anyways, I hope more people join under the branch. If you're listening to this, I hope you take a second to check it out and add your cons, because the thing is too is that we are a community and we should decide as a community how these hashtags should be used and what's proper use and what's an improper use of it too.
Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit about a meeting that I went to. If you want to start getting into our workshops here and our meetings.
Yeah, go for it.
So I was really lucky to be asked to go to a meeting to present to a group of really like the big movers and shakers here in Quebec for when it comes to phys ed. So I was presenting to Michel Garneau, who's in charge of the phys ed programs, the Quebec curriculum.
Yeah.
Joël Boutiette, who is in charge of the RICI here in Quebec. So it's like a support network to help teachers understand how to integrate technology into their pedagogy. And then also, I can't remember his last name, but it was Patrick, I can't remember his last name now. But he was the president of the FAPEC, which was the Association of Physical Educators, but on the French side here in Quebec. So we have an English association, we have a French association. Anyway, so I was really lucky to go there and present, and they would just wanted to really know how, they wanted to see how we were kind of using Twitter for professional development, and we also kind of see some of the ideas that we were coming up with. Like, when I say we, I mean the community. Just some of the cool ideas, like, of how teachers all around the world are integrating tech into phys ed. The meeting was great. It was, like, a really, really exceptional meeting. Like, you could tell you were in the room with really smart people. And this, I just want to give a shout-out to Joël Boutiette. So he's on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Joe_Boo. I'll link it in the show notes. But what he is doing with tech and phys ed is amazing. Like, he's probably one of the most talented PE geeks I've ever met. And but the thing is, he only speaks French, so he's only tweeting in French right now. He's not tweeting that much, actually, but all of his resources are in French. But honestly, if there was a time to bust out Google Translate and try and learn some French here, this would be the time, because what this guy's doing is amazing. I want to share one example. He did so basically it was a sport education unit, really. He had his students, so it was in two schools, he had the students watch a hockey broadcast, and the students had to identify, and this is working hand-in-hand with the classroom teachers and everything. Students had to identify all the different careers that go into creating a hockey broadcast. So everything from, like, the actual players, the coaches, the referees, but also, like, the cameraman, the announcers, the advertisers, all, like, all those types of careers. Students, they're based on their homeroom kind of teachers. They had to pick different careers that they're going to work on. So some students were going to be the cameraman. Some students were going to, like, put ads together. Some students were going to design the logos for the hockey team's jerseys. So like I said, this was happening in two schools. They then had to, like, put a team together, and in phys ed, they were they were learning about hockey. They were creating a strategy. They were putting their team together. And then they had this big culminating event where instead of doing, like, just doing it within the school, they actually had the two teams from each school come and play against each other. But they – so it was just crazy. So the jerseys were designed by the students. The students were recording, students were announcing, so every period there was two different announcers. Yeah. And the game was broadcasted live on the internet. Wow. So all the schools could go and they could watch this game live. There were commercials created by the students that would play at intermissions. There was even a Twitter feed. So they were using, I think it was Twitter they were using, but they had a Twitter feed, let's say with like a hashtag. And he even taught all the students, like, you know, like we talk about, like, digital citizenship and like responsible, like, use of social media. So he taught the kids, okay, what's like a proper tweet? What's an improper tweet? So the kids were tweeting using this hashtag, and it was all like these like good things, like way to go team, and like that was a great play. So as like these announcers are announcing it, you have like this Twitter feed on the background, kind of showing what people from the schools who are watching the game live are saying about the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but like just everything, like tech was just in everything that was happening there, and he said that the level of engagement was incredible. He even said that he was in like a shopping, a grocery store, and parents were coming up to him and being like, "You're Mr. Boutiette, like you're the guy that put the hockey project together. I just want to thank you so much. Like I've never seen my kids so excited to go to school."
Awesome.
Anyways, it was just an amazing project, and that's just
one. Is there anything online? Like I know it's probably in French, but is there anything online with that?
Yeah. So he writes for the RICI. So I'm gonna the RICI, like I said, is this organization that that is there to support teachers in the use of technology in school. So I'm gonna link to that, and I'll link to his phys ed page specifically. But just everything he had on there was incredible. Like he was telling me about like a parkour unit he did, and it was just amazing. Like the way that he's using it. Is that, and what I really liked about him, well, aside from the fact that he's a great guy, I think I was telling you earlier, but right after the meeting, my car's battery died.
Yeah.
He actually came out and gave me a boost so I could get the car going. What I really liked about him is that similar to like how I've always said that if you're going to be using tech, you need to be using it as a solution to a teaching problem.
Yeah.
And the way he's organized himself on the RICI is that he identified, like, okay, like, instead of being like, here's an app, here's how you can use it, he's like, here are things you probably want to be doing in your gym, like providing video feedback, like collecting, like assessment information, stuff like that. Here are apps you can use for it. And even better than that, he organized it not only for iPad apps, but also iPad, Windows tablets, and Android tablets. So you could go in, you could be like, okay, I'm looking for something for video feedback. I'm using an Android tablet, click, and then he's got some apps that you can use for that. And it's just very, very, very well organized website. Like I said, it's in French, but like with a little bit of Google Translating, you can get by just fine. Yeah. And I'm going to be meeting with him again soon because he wants to know, okay, like he started asking, okay, can you tell me who are the people I should be following on Twitter? So I'm sending him a list there, and I also want to be helping him out because if we can get this guy sharing with the community online, man, he could bring so much to the table.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get him sharing there. Anyways, it was a great meeting. It was just a really fun day, and it was great to be a part of that.
Awesome.
You
mentioned earlier as well that you're presenting maybe in Winnipeg? Or
yeah, yeah. So I just got the confirmation the other day. I'm officially presenting at the PhD Canada's National Conference in Winnipeg next October. Awesome. I'm going to be presenting the So You Think You Can Dance unit. So I'll be helping teachers understand how they can be using iPads to create a really engaging dance unit. It's funny now because like I find that we've talked so much about the unit that like I'm like, oh yeah, people know about the So You Think You Can Dance unit, but a lot of people aren't on Twitter, I guess. So
no, exactly.
I'll be presenting those.
You'll be in Blue Jays territory.
Yeah, exactly. I actually want to work with him because I want to throw maybe a little social event together for the physicalcoach.com and get some people from the community there and sharing and having a good time together.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a couple coming up actually. I've got one coming up on the 17th of April here in Singapore. So about a month back, I don't know whether I mentioned this on the last podcast or not. About a month back, I met at the school because we're an Apple school. So we're like from middle school up, we're Apple MacBook Pro 1-to-1 school. And in the elementary school, we have iPads in the early years. And then there's sort of banks of MacBook Pros available for the older grade levels in the elementary. So Apple comes into the school quite a lot to sort of just work with us on how they can help us and how, you know, what we need and stuff like that. So in meeting with them, I was invited to go and sort of like just share what I was doing just because I'm friends with the IT teacher basically. And he said like, you're doing good stuff. Like come and talk to Apple and we'll try and connect you up. So, out of that, I've been working with Apple and we're putting together a workshop on the 17th of April, so Tech in Phys Ed SG. I've got, I think there's 40 maybe PE teachers coming from all around Singapore. Wow. Most of the international schools. I've got a couple of local schools coming as well, which is good. It's just an afternoon session after school, like maybe an hour and a half or so, just to, like, I'm going to share some stuff with people, just find out what they're doing, and just start sort of building up a bit of a community here because there are so many international schools here and so many phys ed teachers here. And sort of started to try and do it when Jared, Mr. Robbo, was here earlier. We set up the phys ed SG hashtag and we've got a few people using it now. But having 40 people in a room together, like it'll be the first time that really that's happened under this sort of banner. Like we meet for organizing sports tournaments and stuff like that, but to actually meet and talk about like tech and phys ed and just working together, moving forward, like I don't think anything like that's happened before. So that's exciting. Looking forward to that.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. There's another one also. I've got another one the week after that, which is a PYP network one, which is our like premier's program. So that's just the IB schools coming for that one. And I'm going to do a blogging and social media workshop, try and get some people set up with some phys ed blogs and maybe a Twitter handle for their phys ed program.
Awesome.
I know there's actually maybe two other schools here in Singapore that have Twitter handles and they've been tweeting some stuff out. So I don't know how many are coming to that at the moment, but hopefully we'll get a few. I opened that one up to actually non-phys ed teachers as well to try and the aim is just to get people set up with a blog and get them blogging. So, and then really exciting news, like early stages at the moment, but anyone who knows of Teaching Games for Understanding, TGFU, you would definitely know the name Joy Butler. She's like the guru of TGFU, and I know she works at UBC in Vancouver. And I've been in talks with her, talking with her, and I'm going to talk with her later this week about possibly doing some work with her at UBC this summer. So any of those phys ed or PE geek people out there in the Lower Mainland area of BC, like keep your ear to the ground because I'm going to be in Vancouver for about a month. There could be some stuff happening there. So really exciting. And I'm really, really like excited about that a lot. So yeah, I'll let you know more as soon as I know more.
That's awesome, man. I have to see if there's a way I can get out to Vancouver so we can actually have, it'd be great to have a live podcast.
Yeah, well, actually I'm also going to be in Toronto, so I am going to be a little bit closer to you. So like if you can get down to Toronto, maybe we could set that up.
Oh yeah, for sure. We'll work that out.
Yeah. The live phys ed podcast.
Yeah.
We could do it on location somewhere.
Yeah, and have
like from the top of what's the tower in Toronto?
The CN Tower.
Yeah,
I don't know if we have enough pull to book that, but we'll try.
We'll try. I want to talk about, earlier this week, I did my first Google Hangout. I hadn't done a Google Hangout before. And Matt Pomeroy had set one up, just an impromptu one. They were talking about geocaching and Phys Ed Amazing Race and stuff like that. So I was actually between classes, so I only dropped in for about 20 minutes or so. But it was really awesome to connect with a few of the US guys. There was a big Wisconsin crew there.
Okay.
I don't know what's in the water in Wisconsin, but it must be good because there's so many great Phys Ed people in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Just a heap of quality teachers. And there was a few people from Manitoba in the hangout as well. But one of the people, Joe Bailey was in there. And I saw just maybe it was this morning or yesterday, she's been nominated for National Physical Educator of the Year in the US.
Yeah, I heard that. That's amazing.
So I want to send a big shout out to her. So fingers crossed for her getting up on that one.
She just seems like she loves her job so much.
Yeah, like anytime, she's awesome.
Anytime she's talking about it, and she teaches such a variety of PE too, right? But like, she just seems like she loves it so much, and like, you know, that's the kind of teacher we need in our profession. So she's totally deserving of that nomination, and all the best to her.
Yeah, definitely. I know we've been talking for a while, but that's okay. Like, there's a couple more things I want to talk about just before we sort of like wrap it all up and people start to get sick of hearing our voices. I've been using a couple of new, not really a new app, but Flipboard. Have you used Flipboard before?
Yeah, I've used Flipboard. I saw you jumped on their new feature there.
Yeah, so like it's been on my device for a while, and I sort of hadn't used it a lot. Like, I know some people use it to link their Twitter feed or their Facebook feed in, and it just makes it look nice, and you can flip the pages, and it looks like a book. But they just added a new feature this week, so you can actually like curate magazines now. So anything you find online, so it's a bit like Pinterest in a way, I guess. So you can just like. I have a button now on my browser, flip it. So if I find something that I want to flip into a magazine, I can do that. So I set up two at the moment. I set up one, which is just like a website, iphysed.com website one, which just has like all my resources from my website on, okay. Which has been good. I've got a few people that are subscribed to that. But the main reason I wanted to do it was because I thought it would be a really good way of setting up resources for kids to use. So like we're doing a swimming unit at the moment, so I've set up a swimming and water safety magazine.
Great idea.
And I started like flipping things into the magazine to do with swimming and water safety. So it might be like, I think I've got a few things like some stroke technique videos, so freestyle backstroke, things like that. I've got some water safety videos, some water safety information, just different stuff to do with swimming and water safety. So like, you know, it's stuff that the kids, if they have their own devices at home or if they've got their devices at school, they can just flip through like it's a book. So I know there's a really big push at the moment for like electronic books and, yeah. And iBooks and stuff with Apple. But yeah, this is just another nice way of sort of like organizing resources and getting it into like a visual thing that like I can see that like I think kids would like to view things in that way.
That's amazing. That's a really good idea. I knew you were doing it for your website, but I didn't realize that you're doing it for your classes.
Yeah, so...
What a great way to get... Just curate content from around the web and just make it really accessible to students. Good idea.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I've been sort of, like, curating stuff to Pinterest, I guess. But that's more for me as, a resource bank, I guess. But yeah, this is more of a way, I guess, to get it to the kids. So I was actually looking, I don't know, I haven't worked out how to do it yet, the if this then that, to get from, if I could pin something that it would be also put into the Flipboard. I don't think they have that feature yet.
I don't know.
But that would be a nice cross-posting thing if you could get it that way, because then you've got it in both spots. But no, it's been good. So it's just something that I'm going to start building. Like, obviously, we're doing swimming right now, so that's the one I've been focusing on. But, I mean, the kids could even create them themselves, really, and start creating their own magazines, like, as a portfolio even. Just lots of different uses for it. So I think it's going to be a really successful sort of new update for Flipboard, adding that feature. So it's really simple. Like, I blogged about it on iphysio.com, so you can go on there and there's a how-to video. But it's really simple.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. No, you mentioned something earlier about Coach's Eye, maybe?
Yeah, just... So I don't use that many video analysis apps, but I do like Coach's Eye a lot. And I just always found it to be very stable and very reliable. So this past week, actually, just before I was presenting at that big meeting, Coach's Eye came out with an update. And one of the features that they added that I really liked was a side-by-side video analysis.
Yeah.
So I know that, like, you could do that like in a few other apps, like Coach My Video and UberSense. But I was just really glad to see that added to Coach's Eye. So if you haven't ever checked out Coach's Eye, I really think it's worth checking out. We'll add a link to it in the show notes. And I think with that side-by-side analysis, it's going to add like bring a lot of value to the app.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like Coach's Eye is definitely my favorite. I don't know, like similar to you, I just find it really easy to use. Like there's a lot of like UberSense, Coach My Video, all of those. But I don't know, for some reason, I open up Coach's Eye and it works for me. I look at it and it's simple and it's easy to use.
Yeah, it's just like you open it up and you need to do a video analysis. You open up, you do your video analysis, and that's it. Like you're done. You get it done fast. I like apps that are fast. That's why I use Penultimate so much, because it's just fast. You know, often it's just the app that I open up and then I do a little diagram and that's it. Let's go.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Okay. I know Mr. Robbo has been pretty active over the last couple of weeks. Actually, like he goes through stages where he doesn't really share a lot, but the last couple of weeks he's just been all over sharing new stuff. And one of his things is Google Chrome extensions. So I know a lot of people use Google Chrome as their browser. And he put out a video on his blog a couple of days ago, actually, about different Chrome apps or extensions that can help. So there was like one of them was a anatomy one where you can like sort of like look at the human body and add and take away different systems, looking at muscles, nerves, circulatory system, stuff like that. There was one for a workout one, that created workouts for you that was really nice. And then just other productivity ones. So one that I took from him was Black Menu.
Okay.
Which is if you use sort of like Gmail as your mail client. Like I know a lot of schools, my last two schools have used Gmail as their sort of like email platform. So it just goes on the browser next to the address bar, and you click on it and it just pops out and it gives you all of the different Google products. So you've got like Google Search, Google Plus, Google Translate, Maps, YouTube, Gmail, Google Drive, Calendar. And you can actually add anything that Google does, you can add to that little menu. And it just, I find it really easy to help me navigate, because often I have like a lot of different tabs open on my browser. Okay. And like maybe I want to get to Drive quickly, or maybe I want to get and look at a map, instead of having to open up a new tab and find or type in that address or whatever, I just click on the Black Menu on the side and it just pops up. And if I click on Drive, it'll take me straight to my Google Drive, or straight to YouTube, or straight to my Google Plus or whatever.
It just speeds things up. Tools like that, just like, I know it sounds silly because people are like, oh, you could just open up another tab. But like when you have access to the tool right there, it just speeds everything up, and you can just kind of stay in your workflow and not have to interrupt it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it's just good. Like, and I know like he's Mr. Robert's really keen on these Chrome extensions at the moment. There are lots, and I feel like it's an area that's really gonna like maybe it'll explode. But like, you know, like the App Store and stuff on iPhone and you know Android Store. Like everyone's always talking about different apps they're using on that, but you know, Chrome and their sort of like browser app store, like there's a lot of good stuff on there. Pretty much anything that you can get on a handheld device is coming out on the Chrome store as well to just be used within your web browser.
I was telling you before we started here, I've always used Safari on my Mac, but I think it's really time I make a switch to Google Chrome and check it out, because everybody always tells me to use Chrome. I think it was just out of habit I was using Safari.
Yeah. No, it's really good. Like, I've been using it for a couple of years now, I think. I love it. Like, I almost, because of all the things that I've added to it now, so I have the Black Menu, I have a little Evernote web clipper, I have lots of different things that I've added to it to help me with different things. When I go back to having to use Safari or Firefox, then I just get frustrated because I don't have all those things anymore.
Yeah.
They're not there. Let alone someone I saw the other day was still using Internet Explorer. I don't know who it was. I didn't even know it still existed. And I said, "Do you know about Chrome?" And they're like, "No." And I showed them, and they're like, "Oh, why didn't I use this before? Like, this is so much easier." So yeah, let's get you across onto Chrome, Joey.
All right.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I just want to give one shout out to someone, Ryan Foy, who blogs on thephysicaleducator.com from time to time. He's got a great blog post coming out this week. His birthday today. So okay. I want to give a shout out to Ryan. His Twitter handle is WellnessRF. Ryan's just, this kid's got so much energy, and he's got so much, just so many leadership qualities already. I think he's going to do great things. He's in his final year at St. FX, and I'm really proud to have him on the team, and I'm just really excited to see what he's going to be doing moving forward. He's going to be, if anybody's going to the North Carolina AFERD conference, Ryan's going to be there, so you can probably meet him there and just chat with him, because he's just a lot of fun to chat with. Like I said, he's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ryan. Just before we go, like, I just started something new tonight, like, not really phys ed related, but like health related, I guess. I'm going 8 weeks without sugar.
Oh, okay.
So tonight was the first one. I actually, like, I had still had some Easter eggs from Easter, and I threw them in the bin. So it was tough, but I did it. And it all just came about from a book that my girlfriend actually found when we were in Australia just the other week. So it's called I Quit Sugar by Sarah Wilson.
Okay.
And she showed me, and I was like, oh, yeah, it looks interesting, but I don't know whether I'm really that interested in it. And then she sort of explained it to me, and I looked at it. And it just makes a lot of sense, like what this woman's saying, like about how, you know, for a long time people told her, like, don't eat fat, don't eat things with fat in it, don't eat things with, like, you know, don't eat just bad things that we think are bad for us.
Yeah.
But it's not actually the fat that's bad for us. It's the sugar. Like, sugar is one of the worst things for the body. And she said, like, basically, like, she took sugar out of her diet, and she was just so much healthier.
Really?
And it's really cool because I was thinking about it when she said, like, you know, you can't have any sugar. Like, you sort of slowly phase sugar out. So I think, like, week one, you're meant to halve your sugar intake.
Okay.
So it's replacing things like if you drink like Coke and soft drinks and things like that, like replace that with something else that doesn't have as much, or take the diet version or the light version of it for the first week. You know, just cutting down your sugar. If you have like two sugars with your coffee, only have one. And slowly you just work it out. But I was worried. I'm thinking like, there's so many things I like to eat that have sugar in them. like even bananas, like bananas have like a ridiculous amount of fructose in them, which is sugar.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks bananas are good for you, and they are in some sense, but like they also have a lot of sugar in them. So I'm looking through this book and looking at these recipes and thinking like, wow, there's actually like, there's a lot of stuff with like bacon and cheese and like all of these foods that I love to eat. And I think like, maybe this isn't going to be so hard after all. So I don't know. I'll keep you posted and let you know how it's going. But tonight was the first night of no sugar. So,
and you're surviving? 8 weeks.
I'm surviving, yeah. Like I had like a baked potato with cheese and like sour cream and stuff, and it was good. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
If anyone else is
trying it, let me know.
If me, one book I got right before Christmas, I think. And I love, I think I've talked about it before, is The 4-Hour Chef.
Yeah, I've been looking for it. I can't find it anywhere, so I'm going to have to order it online, I think.
Man, it's a fun book. Like, it's like, I know it sounds kind of weird being like a cooking book's like a really fun book. This is a really great book. Because I was never really that great at cooking, and it just teaches you everything you really need to know about cooking in such like a cool way. Like, it's a really well-presented book too.
Yeah.
But every recipe in the book is, A, supposed to teach you a different kind of chef skill, which so you're kind of learning about like cooking as you're making these meals. And then the other thing about it is all the recipes in there are part of his slow carb diet, And okay. I know a lot of people have had like great results with the slow carb diet. And again, same kind of thing that you're saying is like a lot of these recipes, like it's just really like it's stuff that I'd want to eat anyways, you know, like, yeah. like he's talking about like these, like cooking steak and like all kinds of stuff. So mm-hmm. 4-Hour Chef is, it's just a really fun book. You learn so much about all kinds of stuff. There's a whole yeah. section on the wild and like cooking stuff like from the wild and everything. It's just a crazy book. You have to check it out.
Yeah. The good thing about this one as well that I'm doing right now is a lot of the stuff, like I always struggle with time to cook because of work. Like we're at work early, you don't get back till late, like, and just like the last thing I want to do is like organize a big meal and stuff. But like it repeats a lot of the ingredients. So it's like almost like at the start of the week, if you just like you buy a heap of stuff, you're repeating things all the way through the week. So you're not having to like prepare a lot of stuff every single day.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's good. Like I like it so far and it gives a lot of alternatives. Like even though like it's not all sugar is bad for you, but certain types of sugar are bad for you. So it gives you a lot of like sort of alternatives to sugar and alternative things that are going to give you that sort of like sugar energy kick that you need.
Cool. Yeah, that was one of the problems. Like I have the Jamie Oliver app on my iPad and it's a great app and everything, but I found that a lot of the recipes were like, you needed some ingredients that I like, since I don't have much cooking experience, like I didn't really know what to replace it with.
Yeah.
And it's just like these random ingredients that I had to like go out and like to specialty stores and try and find.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're just in doing the shopping for it today. Like it probably actually worked out a lot cheaper than what I normally spend on food for a week.
Yeah.
Just because it was repeating a lot of things, but then the meals actually seem really different. So even like one of the meals, I think is like a broccoli pesto thing. So you, like you're using the broccoli, but it's in a pesto. And then the next night you're having like steamed broccoli.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the same sort of like, you're not having the same thing every night, but you're just using the ingredients in different ways, to make different tastes. So yeah, it's, I'm excited about it. Like I'm normally not excited about stuff like this, but you know, it's, I'm excited about it. So I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh,
yeah.
You should like make it a habit. Are you using Lyft?
Yeah, I am.
You should make it a habit on Lyft and check in. We can follow you there.
Yeah, definitely.
Do it. See you go on. All right. Well, that's it for me, Nathan. I don't know if you had other stuff you want to talk about.
No. That's probably it for me. Like, otherwise, we could just go on forever, really.
Yeah. we'll save that for our live broadcast at the top of the CN Tower.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you find all the information we talked about in the show notes below. And we love hearing back from you. So if you're listening to this podcast, please let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, anywhere. Because we just love interacting with people. And we love hearing what you think about the show.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Nathan, you have a great sugar-free day.
I will.
And we'll talk soon.
No worries, mate.
Bye.
See ya.